This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Welcome in. 8:03 tee time here at the Square Country Club downtown. Another edition of Backspin Golf. And since last week, since last Sunday, when Perry French, our Srixon Golf Cleveland Golf guru, who'll join me a little later in the show, since we did that live episode, we all saw what happened last Sunday at the Open Championship in what is now, after this past week, called the greatest final round pairing in a major ever in history of any major championship. Previously, the one that was talked about the most was the duel in the sun, the famous duel in the sun between Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus at Turnberry in 1977. Well, this past week, after Henrik Stenson, the champion golfer of the year, and Phil Mickelson, as we all now know, had that battle on Sunday at Royal Troon, Jack Nicklaus first came out and said he thought that Sunday, last Sunday, was better than his duel with Tom Watson at Turnberry. And everyone said, well, it's easy for Jack to say that because he didn't win. Well, a couple days ago, there was a dinner because the Senior Open Championship is being played over there this week. And Jeremy Schapp, who's a terrific writer and personality in the world of sports, hosted a dinner for all the golf luminaries that were over there. Tom Watson was in the audience, and Jeremy Schapp made a reference to some people could argue that the duel in the sun was better, and Tom Watson screamed out, Troon was better. And that was the winner of the duel in the sun. So there's no argument now. The best Sunday final round pairing in major history, and we all got to watch it. It was incredibly awesome. Also, real quick, my last thoughts on the Open Championship. Number one, Beef Johnston. Andrew Johnston of England crashed on the world golf scene over there during the championship. He's got a big lumberjack beard. He's a big, full of life, bigger than life guy who happens to be a fantastic golfer as well. I loved everybody getting to be introduced to Beef Johnston. His original nickname was Beefhead. That's what his friends called him. He even showed a tattoo during one of his interviews on his left shoulder that says Beefhead. How can you not love a guy like that, that plays that well too? And finally, the two holes at Royal Troon that show how incredibly great golf is. The postage stamp, the number 8 hole, par 3 of 100 yards it played on Sunday. We saw what happened to the best players in the world on a hole that measured between 100 and 123 yards. That hole was incredible. And the 11th hole, the hardest hole in major championship history, the par 4, 482-yard 11th hole with a railway down the right, an out-of-bounds stone wall, a blind tee shot over thick, thick gorse was fantastic. All right. We'll be back. Perry French, a new friend, Terran Schaefer, will join us. And then Al Krauser from Lakeside Golf Course, right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Well, I'm going to exhale now. I've been holding my breath since the final round of the Open Championship, waiting to talk to Perry French about this, our Srixon golf guru, master of clubs, master of everything. Hi, Perry.
Good morning.
I can finally breathe because after the whole thing was over, I thought, I can't wait to talk to Perry about this.
My mouth was open the whole afternoon, morning watching that tournament. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the shots I'm seeing and the way those two guys played was just probably some of the best.
Yeah.
Round I've ever seen in major championship in the last 15 years. Two guys going head to head.
Well, maybe, here's the
great
thing.
You know, maybe Tiger and...
Yeah, you know. No. Nobody. There has never been a better head-to-head duel...
I can't imagine.
...on Sunday of any major in history than this one we witnessed Sunday.
63-65.
Okay, now, let's touch on it this way. And I've said this. I said this on our show with Mikey. If you had gone to Mickelson at the beginning of the round on Sunday and said... you're going to be bogey-free and shoot 65 today, Mickelson would have said, I'm going to win by three shots. I'm going to win by four shots.
Absolutely.
That's number one. Number two, Henrik Stenson, all these stats are great. Henrik Stenson had a birdie putt on every hole on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
On one, he was right off the edge.
Right. But he used the putter twice,
right,
similar
twice,
putts. Yeah.
And on 10. He had a birdie putt on every hole on Sunday of the Open Championship at Troon.
Yeah. 10 birdies.
Yeah.
It was just a display, and the putting was probably the key. Putting and pitching, we saw some shots. Mickelson's great escapes were phenomenal.
Yep.
That's one of the things I really noticed is how that slower greens, certainly from a tour stand, PGA Tour standpoint, in a major championship, extremely slow. The British Open's always been the Open Championship's always
Thank
been
you.
A little lower,
right.
Slower speed because of the terrain and the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that they did on Saturday was because of the high winds, they actually only mowed the greens one time instead of two and didn't roll them.
Right.
Kept it, you know, they didn't want to have anything rolling off. And they have fairly subtle...
Hello, USGA.
Yes, yeah. Fairly subtle slopes.
Right.
So the great, hello, USGA, you take the slopes that we see our players play on all PGA events, most of the courses, and certainly the USGA's major events, it's at the speeds of 12 to 15. They need to take a look at this because the guys were making putts and making some really great chip shots that were coming close to the hole, going in.
And except for Phil and Henrik, if they're worried that everybody's going to shoot 20 under if they do that in a U.S. Open, it didn't happen. All the rest of, as it was funny on Twitter was the best it's ever been for sports during those 4 days, especially the last 2 days.
Right.
The rest of them, somebody put up J.B. Holmes, our own J.B. Holmes, who finished solo third.
Right. Played great.
Shot 6 under. Right. They put. J.B. Holmes won the B flight today.
Yes.
All the rest of the guys shot 6-5-4 down to over par on slow green. So it's not a question of that.
Correct. I mean, the golf course itself, and this is where the British Open Championship takes a different look at how the course does not become the main focus.
The story of the tournament.
Yes.
Right.
The courses are storied from their history.
Good.
Okay.
Oh, good.
But...
Yeah.
They're not the reason people want to watch. We want to watch them play the courses under the conditions.
Correct.
And that is the wind, the multiple changing of weather throughout a course of a round, the long rolling terrain, a putt from 40 yards away. They caught Jesper Parnevik was talking this past week because it's the Senior British Open this weekend.
Right.
And he said, playing the British Open, the Open Championship, you're lining up putts from 70 yards away.
Know.
You're literally lining up putts. We don't see that kind of golf here.
Ever.
And that's what I think makes us appreciate watching it and also just imagine trying to play those kind of shots. And that's the intrigue about doing it. So I think from a player standpoint, the slow greens aren't causing them to be poorly played.
Right.
They're playing extremely well. They're getting the ball close to the hole. They're making putts. The putts that Stenson made on Sunday afternoon, as well as Phil, from 15 foot and on, were great.
Yeah.
I think the faster greens that we see every week in the PGA Tour and certainly at major championships here, the players are more tentative. They just they can't stroke the ball because
when
it goes by the hole with any pace, it's going 5, 6, 7 feet. Whereas you can see those balls coming to a pretty good stop, two, 3 feet, and that's really a neat thing. I think that the Open continues to have over all the other championships.
Well, it's the RNA as opposed to the USGA.
Right. Yeah.
So what I wanted to say before, and I kind of skipped over it, when I said the best final round pairing, the standard that everybody is held to in that situation is 1977 at Turnberry, the duel in the sun, Jack and Nicklaus and Tom Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Who had separated themselves from the field, same kind of scenario.
Right.
Watson won with a birdie putt on 18 on Sunday. Well, this past week, first Jack, arguably the greatest of all time, Jack said that this past Sunday was better than theirs.
Wow.
Jack said it.
Wow.
And everybody went, well, that's because he didn't win. This past week, a couple days ago, Jeremy Schapp, who most of us know, MC'd a dinner over there because he's over there for the senior Open Championship. And while he was up on the podium, he said, mentioned something about except for the duel in the sun. And Tom Watson was there. He called out during the dinner, Troon was better.
Wow. That's pretty impressive
now you
to say.
Watson and Nicklaus saying that was the best.
Well, look, and arguably that's those two players in their history at the British Open unmatched.
Right.
Okay. So to have them
that
say
ends that argument.
The rounds were and the way Troon was playing was a tremendous to me. The visual intimidation of that golf course just from a TV look, and between the gorse, the sand dunes,
the water,
the bunkers. I can't imagine that the golf course played that much differently for those two players compared to the rest of the field.
Well, according to that, J.B. Holmes said they were playing a totally different golf course than the rest of us.
that's two elite players
right.
having an elite weekend of play. I mean, Stenson, 66, 68, 63 to finish?
Yep.
Hello?
And Phil shot 63 on Thursday.
And the weather on Sunday was kind of, it didn't really come into play as much as we thought it was.
Right.
It seemed at first it was, and then it really kind
of. The morning before they teed
off.
Yeah,
the earlier play.
It affected them a little, but it was pretty good for the two of them. And in a way.
They just were in total.
It was perfect. It added to the perfection because, yes, on some holes there was some wind. You'd see their pants flapping when they were getting ready to putt. But again, like we were talking about with the golf course, it wasn't the story.
Right.
It wasn't these two guys conquered 50-mile-an-hour winds.
Right.
It was about the golf.
Right.
And adjusting to everything. And here's another couple stats.
That's why sports is so great, because you don't know what's going to unfold and how that.
It's the greatest reality show every time.
Yeah.
Henrik Stenson, and I've said this too, Henrik Stenson had a birdie putt on every hole. Phil. They played together the last 2 days, and even before that, they, for 40 holes, consecutive holes, Stenson and Mickelson were never more than two shots apart for 40 consecutive holes. And then, I think you might have seen it, there's a picture that I put up on Twitter, that's my favorite picture of the whole week, of them walking off the 18th green, and they have their arms around each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an amazing.
Well, they both had to appreciate how great each of them both played.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no hanging anybody's head.
Nobody
these
lost.
These guys played
right.
Outstanding. You know, shot for shot. How many holes? And I don't know the stat, but how many holes were two-shot swing holes?
Well,
there was a stretch that went from like 15, 16, 17, 18 on Saturday, and then one on Sunday.
And
it was like
again,
five or six. There was this
there
flip.
There were two-shot swings in the first four holes.
Right. It just that kind of stuff is what makes that so great to watch, because there's that flip. And, oh, my gosh, there's a birdie, and the guy makes bogey, and how's this keeping happening?
Yep.
And it's the 1-2 players. I mean, head-to-head. Again, my mouth's back open again. I'm just in awe. I remember texting my son. I said, I'm in awe of what I'm watching here.
Everybody.
These guys are just as,
everybody was in awe.
Yeah, and to play that well under all those things with the first major at stake for the first Swedish player to male player to win a major championship.
My sister-in-law.
Yeah, you said that on Sunday.
Sunday.
And then Mickelson trying to win his sixth. I mean, you know, that was his seventh second place finish.
Well, the stats about his,
you know,
it's his 11th second place finish in a major,
right?
Which broke the tie with Arnold Palmer, who
right?
Had 10.
And of course, Mickelson. Nicklaus is at 19.
Yeah,
19. Yeah. So. he's right there. I mean, we talk about Phil and how, I mean, for him to play that well at his age and certainly the condition he's been dealing with. Right. We talked a lot about his, you know, losing 25 pounds. Mm-hmm. Great for him. He's it's great to see him relevant in that type of
and
scenario.
He's played well. He hasn't won, but he's played well all year.
Yeah. And it'll be that's certainly going to boost his, you know, getting into the Ryder Cup, and those are things that are around the corner. We've got the PGA Championship coming up.
Phil won't be in the Ryder Cup, apparently.
Why is that?
He's not, unless he gets picked.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. Getting picked. I mean, if he's playing that well, captain's pick. You know, you can see that Davis will be picking Phil Mickelson as part of the
Speaking of that,
yeah.
Speaking of that, real quickly, J.B. Holmes, who we mentioned, who we all know played here at UK, went, because of his finish, was 12th on the Ryder Cup standings going in, is now 5th.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Which means, and the way he's playing, he's going to be an automatic.
Right.
And we all know he was great.
Well, you've only got two more events, the Canadian Open this week and the PGA.
Right.
And then that's the qualifying events with the Olympics coming around. Great stuff coming up. It's going to be an exciting month of August.
It is. And you and I will be right here covering it from our favorite golf course, the Square Country Club.
Very good.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks.
Well, as you know, this is my fourth year doing the show, and the thing you all know is how much I love meeting new, interesting people to join us in our golf world here in Lexington through Twitter most of the time, or through friends of mine that I've met on Twitter. And I was just introduced, I should have known about her a long time ago, I'm an idiot, but to Taryn Schaefer, who is with PGATour.com. And she's quite incredible, I'll just say it. And I'm so happy she's joining us this morning on Backspin Golf. Good morning, Taryn.
Good morning, Matthew. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure. Believe me, we got a whole
quite an introduction that you just gave me.
Oh yeah, I know, and I toned it down because I don't want to be too effusive in my praise here. You know, we don't want you to get too big a swelled head. Yeah, okay. I'm enamored of your style, of what you do on the website. It's really fantastic, and just for our listeners here. How did you get to where you are now? This is always an interesting topic with everybody I talk to. You're down where the PGA Tour is headquartered in Ponte Vedra Beach at Sawgrass down there in that area. You're headquartered there now, but how did you get there? How did you get started?
Sure. I have actually only been in this role with the PGA Tour for a couple months now. I started my first week on the job was at the Players Championship, which was pretty remarkable. It was
Hello?
Pretty awesome. Yeah, it was like, hey, it's time for the Super Bowl. Come join us. But it was great. I loved that that's how I started. It was a great way to just jump in, and I had a blast, and it made me realize I was definitely where I needed to be. But this is my first job solely in the golf world. You know, I've been in the sports world for years now, and I've always been interested in you know, the Golf Channel or the PGA Tour or something like that. So it's really kind of a dream come true for me to talk about golf on a daily basis. But before this, I was with CBSSports.com for a short time. And that's where I started to talk about golf, you know, like maybe on a weekly basis and led me to this point here. But prior to that, I grew up in the Midwest in the St. Louis area. I went to the University of Missouri Journalism School, and I got started in local news there as a sports reporter and photographer, and from there I went back home to St. Louis, where I freelanced and was working as a host for Fox Sports Midwest and most recently the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, that's
so
pretty impressive.
It's been impressive. Quite a journey.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, and after watching you, I know why the rise has been so rapid for you. It's so cool when you get to, as you said, when you get to do something that you love doing, and you obviously, it's pretty apparent watching you that you do love what you're doing, and of course, you went to Missouri, you know, here in Lexington, you know, you're part of the SEC now, so...
Uh-huh.
You know, we're pretty familiar with
now
Missouri.
Now, whenever I was in school, but now,
no,
definitely
now,
part of the SEC.
Now
yes.
It is. I and, you know, I am, everybody here knows, I'm from New York. I lived in California for a long, long time. But I've always been a big sports fan. I can't get used to Missouri being in the SEC. I just can't.
Aww.
I can't do it.
We've been having fun. It's been,
yeah.
It's been quite a ride here lately, but we'll make ourselves more at home. I mean, heck, when we came the first 2 years in the conference, we did quite well on the football side of things.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, but this is Lexington. We, you know, basketball is what we talk about here.
Oh, I know.
You know that.
I know. Yeah, we're not. Yeah. We need to figure that part out.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you mentioned that the first thing you did with this job was the Players Championship. Now, in a minute, we'll talk about last week's Open Championship. But one of the first things that I saw because I always like to know a little bit about people I'm going to have on the show. So I watched a bunch of your videos online, and you did an interview with Henrik Stenson at the Players. So I can't believe that was your first thing that you did, but it was a great, funny interview about him winning a t-shirt, something about mulligans. But talk to us a little bit, because we've obviously had a lot of discussions, not only on Backspin, but on my daily talk show every day that I do, about Henrik Stenson and what he accomplished last weekend. What was it like doing that interview with him? He seems like such a cool guy.
He was hilarious. He is one of the funniest guys, and he's got such a dry sense of humor, so it's not very obvious all the time that he's being funny. But everything that comes out of his mouth is just it's great. He's so funny. We did this segment called Buy a Mulligan, where basically I ask him about 5 or 6 uncomfortable questions, and he can answer all of them and get the cool t-shirt at the end of it, or, you know, he can buy a mulligan and opt not to answer one of the questions. But he was a good sport about it, and he won the t-shirt. I asked him questions about, you know, which Swede would he save if
they were thrown
overboard on a boat. Yep. I asked him if him stripping down into his underwear to hit that golf shot a few years ago was the craziest thing he's ever done in his underwear, and he answered that question. He was so funny. And actually, right after that interview, I hosted a meet and greet with him there at one of those venues at the Players Championship. We got to ask him even more questions. The fans got to ask him questions, and one of his favorite things is ice cream, and we all got ice cream, so that was pretty cool.
apart from the performance he put on that weekend, my sister-in-law is Swedish. She's the former world 9-ball champion. She's a very big deal in the billiards world. And I know something about a Swedish sense of humor through her. When you asked him about, and for those listening, you should Google it or go to, there's a whole thing about a shot he hit at a tournament from the banks of some water where he literally took his clothes off. He was in his underwear and hit the shot. And you asked him, was that the most embarrassing thing I think he had ever done in his underwear? And he, with a totally straight face, said no. I mean, he didn't think it was that big a deal. We've seen guys take their shoes off and roll their pants up, but I've never seen that before. And to him, it was like a very obvious thing to do.
Yeah, and he just said straight up that he would do it again. You know, he had no problem with it. And we saw him, like, stripping down even at the Open Championship this past weekend.
Yeah, yep.
Everyone was loving that. But, yeah, he says everything, all of his comebacks are with a straight face. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, and I'm sure you think, as I do and a lot of people do, that the same thing about Dustin Johnson. Now that he's got this one, and kind of the pressure is off, he's not done. I mean, his performance, obviously. Tell me a little about how you viewed it. I know everybody thinks that, you know, I don't think there's ever been a better duel, as they called it, in the Sunday of a major as there was this past Sunday.
It was one of the most fun days at work I've had maybe ever. And I guess I can't really say that. I've been there for World Series games and stuff like that. But, I mean, come on, it was just so much fun to watch. And what Stenson did Saturday and Sunday, what Phil did the whole week was just incredible. And I think what happened, so Stenson starts right off the bat on Sunday with a bogey. And I think it's really understated how big of a deal that is for him to have started down like that and Phil to have just come out of the gate, you know.
Yeah, he made three birdies.
And it didn't faze Stenson. He still came back and, you know, turned around and got a few more birdies on Phil there. So it was just incredible how he flipped the script after one hole so quickly after Phil came out and was like, hey, this is my day.
Right.
And it was just incredible to watch. It was incredible to see Stenson. He was just in such a zone. Like, you could just see it in his eyes. He was just locked in, and it was cool. It was really cool to watch how in the zone he was. Like, there's only a handful of times, I mean, athletes talk about them getting in the zone, but where you can just, like, see it. You can see that nothing is going to rattle him.
Right.
And nothing really seemed to. Phil was answering every time, and it still didn't matter. Stenson was going to win that one.
It was
cool, and I tweeted out, I think it was also a lot of fun to watch because all of us were happy to see either one of them win.
Right.
Which I think
that's a big deal.
Makes it even that much better.
Yep. And nobody lost. That's the great thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like Phil has done in the past where he made a mistake. This was just, you know, you shoot 65 on the final day of a major and you get beat by two shots. There's pretty much nothing you can do about it.
No, there's not. I mean, Phil cannot be upset with the way that he played. He played remarkably the entire week, really. Like, you know, from the start of it on Thursday, we were all just like, wow.
Yeah,
Phil's tournament. So kudos to Stenson, who kind of rewrote that narrative on the weekend, which was pretty incredible. And I think a lot of people really thought, you know, heading into Sunday that it was still Phil's and not that Stenson didn't have a whole, you know, great chance of winning it. I think a lot of people really thought that Phil had it locked up.
Right. Okay, before I let you go, we're talking with Taryn Schaefer of PGAtour.com. Before I let you go, we have incredibly enough, and we could spend a whole show talking about this summer and the schedule and the Olympics. But next week is the PGA, right away, starting Thursday. What's your summer going to be like in terms of coverage? Do you do most of your stuff there? Will you get to go to any of the events that are coming up? We have a Ryder Cup coming up, or do you do mostly everything from there?
I would say the majority of things are done from the studio here for me, but I will be on the road a little bit during leading up to and during the playoffs. So for us, you know, those are big PGA Tour events.
Right.
We are very much involved in the majors, but they are not run by the PGA Tour. So I'm going to be all in on those four playoff events, which is going to be a lot of fun. I think it's really cool because we're seeing such, you know, no one golfer in particular is dominating this season.
Right.
So these playoffs should be a lot of fun to see who emerges at the top.
It's going to be awesome. Well, you've been fantastic. And as I said, I'm so glad that I got to speak with you. And hopefully, if it's okay with you, I can check in with you further on into the summer and catch up and get your thoughts on what's going on.
Of course. It was a pleasure talking to you anytime.
Okay. Thanks so much, Taryn. We'll talk to you soon. Joining us now here on Backspin Golf, the big guy, the head guy, out at one of my favorite golf courses, out at Lakeside. Al Krauser joins us, and good morning, Al.
Good morning, Matthew.
I'll just say this: that we're so blessed here with Lexington Parks and Rec to have five courses that are public courses that we can play, and my two favorites are Lakeside and Kearney. Those are the two that I play the most, and they're very different courses. But how great in Central Kentucky that we have municipal courses like this.
We are blessed, and it's great because I believe it's a great sport. It's great for so many reasons. One, you do get exercise. It's about 7 miles to walk around a golf course, and even if you ride a cart, now that everybody's counting their steps,
yep,
you're still going to walk 2 to 3 miles.
Yeah.
So it's great for recreation, but the camaraderie that you build up between players, the responsibility you learn as a youth, the perseverance it takes to even want to play golf, they're all great qualities that you can tell by our past champions of the city tournament just what golf means to this area.
And that's one of the main factors why I wanted to speak to you this week. This week is the city championships, which have been going on for quite a long time. And today, Kearney will be hosting the last round. And Picadome, Lakeside, and Kearney were the three golf courses this week. And you've been involved with the city championships for a long, long time.
Since the early 60s as a player.
Wow.
And then started helping run the tournament in 1982 was my first city tournament, and everyone since then.
That's truly remarkable. And so no one has a better perspective on this than you do. The tournament has changed. I have a friend that's played, missed 1 year in the last 30. And I was talking to him a couple days ago about the change. It used to be that it was 4 days. Is that correct, instead of three?
Yes. This year, just due to scheduling, we have been discussing going back to a shorter tournament because of time restraints on mm-hmm. players. But this year we had the state amateur was moved back from the month of June to July, and the Kentucky Open was moved up. And this is all because of the Ryder Cup, PGA, and all the big tournaments. Everything has been jumbled up. Even the Olympics would affect our tournament schedule.
Yeah, it's affected everything. It's obviously
everything.
We just had the greatest Sunday in a major championship ever at the Open, and then next week, this week coming up, is the PGA Championship. It's all crazy. My head is spinning.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, it's amazing.
Talk to me a little bit about, I had a brief conversation with you before we got on the air. Talk to me a little about the number of players and what's different or similar this year in the cities.
Well, this year, I think we're hurt a little bit because of the other two tournaments.
Yeah.
And the expenses to play now are getting up there. We can't get around those expenses. The city has always been a tremendous sponsor of golf on every level, from juniors, boys and girls,
mm-hmm.
the ladies, the men's, the seniors. Our director of golf, Mike Fields, is very, very puts a very high level of importance of supporting golf on all levels.
He's fantastic, by the way. Mike is just fantastic.
Yes, and it's been that way now for several years. Our numbers, we have 83 in our championship in the scratch division, and we also have a handicap division. We try to offer golf for every golfer in the city. And at one time, we used to have all the golfers playing at a golf course from every division, which was seniors, juniors, scratch, handicap, blind hole handicap. So we had five divisions, and now we've separated those tournaments out. So it's less jumbled, and we can have one each month and take care of everybody.
Right.
So our numbers are compatible for these days and times. The tournament has been a tremendous springboard. It is one of the biggest tournaments in the state as a rule. Now, this year, the Kentucky Open, it depends on where their site is and the state amateur. But our first place prize money rivals theirs.
Mm.
So it's we offer great prizes. It's a tremendous payout for the field. If you make the cut, you almost always get your money back, which is also nice. But it's a tremendous springboard for the competition. We have, we've had two high school golfers win the city championship, Jim Bankton and Will Bishop. We've had golfers that have won the city championship that have turned pros. Going all the way back to Larry Smith was the first one I can think of, Brian Griffith, Jim Halfhill, Cole Mahan, Bob Jeffers, Scott Eilers, Denver Haddocks, Josh Teeter. So it's a great stepping point. We've also had a couple winners that were pros that got their amateur status back, which is Buddy Bryant. He's a four-time winner. Charlie Cornett and Danny Miller.
Yeah. Well,
so we've had a little bit of everything.
Now,
we've had college students that have been competitive.
Yeah. Well, we have some great college golf in this area, as we know, too. But this is interesting to me. I didn't realize that there were purses paid for, you know, for this. How does that work? You just mentioned about getting their amateur status back. How does it work? I mean, if you're an amateur, you can't accept money for a tournament. Is that right?
You can't accept money, but you can accept a prize or merchandise up to a value of $750.
Okay.
So anybody that wins a car as a hole-in-one prize would temporarily, if they accept that prize, would temporarily lose their amateur status, and then they would have to reapply for it.
Okay.
Your amateur status can be reattained depending on the amount of tournaments you played in as a pro, the amount of money that you won, and how much you've done as far as lessons. It's almost based on income. So some pros haven't had a fruitful, you know, career as a
right.
golf pro, go back and they can get their amateur status back within a year.
Right. Okay. Well, we're really looking forward to today and as I said at the open of this, for us to have the kind of golf course, I lived in California for over 20 years, and we had a couple of really great public courses, but to have this many of this quality in this city is just astounding, and it's people like you who have made golf in Central Kentucky what it is, and I can't thank you enough for joining me this morning.
Well, I appreciate the time to be with you, Matthew, and talk about golf. I think anybody that knows me knows that I definitely love the game. I just can't give it up.
Yeah.
And if I retire, I'm still going to play as much golf as I can, as long as my body will allow me to.
Yep. That's how we all feel.
I don't care what level I play on. It's
just being out
I
there.
I just try my best. That's what golf is. I don't care if I shoot 87 or 67.
Yep.
I do my best, and I take what she gives me.
Yeah. Well, you're wonderful, Al. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, thank you, man.
Well, that'll do it for another edition. I love saying that. That'll do it for another edition of Backspin Golf here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. We are in the midst of it now, and this Open Championship, and then the Canadian Open, and then the PGA, and then we're going to the Olympic, and then the Ryder Cup, and all of it. We're in it right now, including the City Championship, which will conclude later today at Kearney Hill, my favorite public course anywhere. But we have the five great ones here, and thanks again to Al Krauser for joining us. And how about him? He's been involved as a player. He started with these city championships in the early 1960s. He was terrific. Thanks so much to him. And our new friend, Terrence Schaefer from PGATour.com. And check it out. Just go to PGATour.com and you can click on her videos, the pieces that she does, are really terrific. She's a very interesting young woman, and I'm glad she got a chance to join us today. And, of course, Perry French, Strixon Golf, Cleveland Golf. Speaking of Strixon Golf, again, congratulations to J.B. Holmes, our very own U.K. J.B. Holmes, who finished solo third last week. And we're going to be hearing a lot more in the summer from him as part of the Ryder Cup team and the different events that he's been playing. He's playing really, really well. So we will be back next Sunday live because I can't believe this, but we just said it. But it's the Sunday of a major. Next Sunday, final round of the PGA Championship from Baltusrol. I'll talk much more about it next week. I've played that golf course. A very interesting round that I had there the day I played. I'll tell you who I got to play with and why that course is so wonderful. Thanks to our partners, Lexington Parks and Rec, for our five great golf courses here. Griffin Gate Resort, the Marriott Griffin Gate, that wonderful resort, and Reese Jones Design Golf Course, right here in the heart of Lexington. It's fantastic. Man of War Golf, top 100 club fitter in America, the best practice facility anywhere. Perry French and I talked about club fitting. That's a great, great place to go. And French Lick Resort. I'll be going up there at the end of August to do our live show at the LPGA Legends. Once again, I can't wait. And Edwin Watts Golf. They have a lot of great stuff going on at Edwin Watts. Till next Sunday at 8:03, we'll see you. Have a great week, and thanks for listening. This is Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.